I'm Jeff Adkisson, Executive Vice President with Grain and Feed Association of Illinois.
The waiver that was granted by the Food and Drug Administration to the Illinois Department of Agriculture, how does that affect grain and feed dealers?
Well, the grain and feed industry, of course, has been struggling with dealing with aflatoxin this year, as producers have been as well, and not just us. But as it comes into the elevator, we of course are testing it, trying to discern the level of aflatoxin that's there, and making business decisions on what we can really do with the grain. There's some situations where it's been rejected, some situations where it's been taken and but discounted, and other situations where they're able to take it without a discount. It just kind of depends on the particular company and their specific situation. But for those companies that are in those areas of the state, probably a better way to say it, that are experiencing higher levels of aflatoxin, when the producer brings it in, if the elevator takes it, this waiver would allow them to be able to blend a higher level with grain that may be free of aflatoxin or very, very low amounts, of basically below 20 parts per billion, and try to reduce the level of aflatoxin so that it can still go into the feed chain. I think it's important to note that this is not just this is not a silver bullet, and this is not something that's going to solve our problems throughout the rest of the year. This is simply another tool to manage the supply of grain that's going to going into the chain. The blending waiver specifically says that this can only go into livestock feed, so it's not something such that it is going into the human chain.
And I would imagine that those levels at which aflatoxin may exist in whatever feed it is also would help to determine which species of livestock or which types of livestock to which it's fed.
Oh, absolutely right. This still stipulates that we need to follow FDA's requirement or their action levels on the various levels of feed. For example, up to 300 parts per billion can go into finishing cattle. Swine is less than that, and poultry is less. So it just depends on what markets you're going into. I think one of the a couple of the eye-opening things for me was just that as we've gone through this, we've always had this perception of, well, it can go into the feed industry. But there are some areas of the state that the feed industry is not accepting over 20. And so because of where their feed is going, and I think that this emphasizes and heightens the scrutiny that we are all links in a chain here, for all the way from the producer's field all the way to the consumer. We are all links in this chain. And we have to provide what our customers want, whether it be a feed manufacturer or an export market or a domestic manufacturer or an ethanol plant, whatever it might be. We're trying to take what we can from the farmers. We want to make sure that we have an outlet for it, so that we don't have an elevator full of grain that we can't get rid of. So it's a real tough balancing act for the industry, and we know that producers sometimes get a little frustrated with us because they've got long lines at the elevator because they've got to do testing. But we've got to protect the company. We've got to protect our businesses as well, and we've got to protect the customer on the other end, which may be the feed industry or an export market or something like that.
And, of course, to blend it down, you have to have a supply of grain that is either without or at a very low level of aflatoxin. What is the availability of that?
Well, that's a key question, and I don't think it's one that we fully have an answer for yet. It's going to vary from one part of the state to another. I've been with the association a little over 25 years, and when I started, it was back in in 87 and in 88, when we had a tough, really one of the first years, we had a real heightened awareness of the aflatoxin issue. And back then, we had a lot of government corn or excess supply that was in storage, and so there was a lot of quote unquote good corn or clean corn, as they might call it, that we could blend with back then. But we don't have that luxury now, and it's going to be very difficult, and in some parts of the state it's going to be more difficult than others. And I think it's important to note that it is not throughout the whole state. There's certain pockets that are probably heavier than others, and we're still kind of waiting to find out where those may be. But there's enough throughout the state that it's definitely a concern, and finding enough clean, quote-unquote, clean corn will be an issue. One of the things that the elevators can do when they receive the grain is to they can screen it, which is basically takes out some of the fines and broken kernels and things like that. And that in and of itself may help to reduce some of the levels of aflatoxin, as that tends to be an area where the Aspergillus flavus mold tends to be in more in the fines and the broken kernels. So that's something that sometimes we can do to be able to perhaps reduce the level of aflatoxin in grain and be able to clean it up so that it can have more uses.
Throughout the drought, most of the conversations that I've had have always drifted to livestock producers and their supply of feed through the winter. I would imagine that this decision will be somewhat of a relief for them.
I would hope that it is, and here again, it depends on what they're feeding and the types of markets that they're going to. But it should maybe create a better supply of livestock feed. We know that the ethanol plants and in the ethanol industry, the aflatoxin tends to be concentrated in the DDGs. And so from somebody I just talked to yesterday, they said it was roughly a 3-to-1 type of thing. So if you're if those DDGs are depending on where they're going, if they're going overseas, we still have to comply with that 20 parts per billion requirement. If they're going to a local feeder, perhaps they could be taking them a little bit higher. So, but still, you've got those guidelines that you've got to live under and live with in order to be able to make sure that those requirements are met.
Jeff, thank you so much. I appreciate your time and your input on this.
All right. You take care.
You too.
Bye. Bye-bye.